For more than a decade, Saturdays and Illegal Curve have been synonymous with one another. With insight, analysis, and interviews regarding the Winnipeg Jets, the Manitoba Moose, and all around the NHL, here are Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good morning, universe. We say happy new year and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show with Dave Minuk, with Ezra Ginsberg. I am your host, Drew Mandel, here on the 1st of January, 2022. Good thing I don't write checks anymore, as I'll still be writing 2021 for many months to come. We say welcome to the show. We're here to talk about the Winnipeg Jets. They still exist, right? It's been like a few weeks, and they haven't played in 2 weeks, and this has been utterly bizarre. But why is that? That's perfectly in fitting with everything we've been going through for the last, you know, almost 2 years. So why wouldn't it be that in the middle of the season, the Jets get this weird 2 week training camp?
Yeah, absolutely. To you both. Happy New Year, boys. Happy to everybody who's watching live with us, and happy New Year to everybody who's listening on the podcast. Hold on a second. Just let me put these on here. There we go. Now we're talking. Had nice. A good little New Year party at the Ginsberg house last night. So I brought these over.
Did you make it to midnight?
I did make it to midnight. Naomi was sleeping. I think she went to bed around like 9:30, something like that. But yeah, I stayed up and watched the ball drop, so to speak. So happy New Year again to everybody. But yeah, I mean, you're right, Drew.
I think I'm gonna have a seizure watching those flashing
lights. I said you were gonna have a seizure.
Hold on, let me turn the light off here for a second. Let me.
Light's good. Anything that makes your eyes look less.
I took the flashing off, Drew, for you. So it's still the light's still on the glasses, but it's just not flashing. But yeah, it's weird. And like you said, I mean, we've gone through a very weird season most recently, but with COVID, let's be honest, the last couple of years have been completely off. So, I mean, just think, guys, if there wasn't that break in the schedule in February, like what would the NHL be doing? Like we would be talking about like a late July, early August Stanley Cup final again, right? If they didn't have that break to work with in February. So really it's a blessing in disguise that, the NHL won't be participating in the Olympics, because you got to think that 3 week period, guys, we're going to be very busy during that 3 week period in February. Let me tell you that much.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's just so utterly bizarre that it's been this 2 week break. And there, I mean, I don't even know how many games it is now that the Jets have to reschedule. It seems is it eight? I'm surprised. I thought it would be more, honestly, at this point in time. And it seems like there's probably more to come because they don't want to play in front of an empty arena. And, hopefully, maybe 2 or 3 weeks from now, it's, probably wishful thinking, but maybe they'll be able to have some fans in the building again. Honestly, who knows? It's out of our control. It's not what we're here to talk about. But, it is sort of just another layer of bizarre to add on to the continuing layer of bizarre that has been in the last little while, Dave. I mean, I don't even, have you been giving Moose updates, to yourself? How you been doing with your Moose coverage as of late? What's been happening there? Are you just, accosting people on the street and screaming at them? Do you want a Minuk Moose Minute?
No, I don't scream at people on the street because
Scream at Dave M. Drew. He doesn't scream.
Hey, there's
them.
Dave M. There's that guy. There's the guy with the Minuk Moose Minute.
I just look into the mirror and I just repeat it back to myself, and I'm like, in the Reese's Monkey position, because there hasn't been any Moose updates to provide the folks. So normally,
you say Candyman three times into the mirror. Also,
that normally I would be regaling the crowd with the activities against the Abbotsford Canucks, the first time the Moose would have ever seen the Abbotsford Canucks, the new Canucks farm team, because they were supposed to play that classic New Year's Eve day game against the Manitoba Moose yesterday. But for the first time in ages, it is not going to happen because Abbotsford had a problem with COVID. So as a result, they've needed to be rescheduled, those games. The Moose are playing tomorrow. It's today, Saturday. My days are so thrown off. So yeah, I'm not. I was like, honestly, I was doing the papers during the week, and I was like, on Monday we learned, and I'm like, was it Monday? And then I had to go back and check my schedule. But yeah, no. So the Moose are scheduled to play tomorrow against Iowa Wild.
You kept tweeting out about a 4-game road trip, and I'm like, 4-game road trip. I'm like, they're Vegas and Colorado and Phoenix. I'm like, where's the fourth game? It's like I have to
look technically at the schedule. It's four. Yeah, it's four straight on the road.
yeah, with the two that were postponed in Winnipeg, they're heading out to Detroit after that for a one-off. It's just like, you know, finding everything out. And
I wonder if that'll even come back. You know, it's funny because some people are like calling it a three-game road trip, but the reality is there's no guarantee the Jets are – like generally they would come back because there's a cost to being out on the road. And so it logically makes sense that they would, but give – and so in the normal course, you would call it a three-game road trip because they would, if they had a week between games, they would come home and they would – practice here and be in their own beds and that sort of thing. But due to the situation with COVID, I don't know what's going to happen in terms of them coming back versus them staying out, go fly to Michigan. Maybe Andrew Kopp can host them all there and they'll just,
still there.
They'll just get, yeah, well, he's probably in Nevada now, but anyways. Yeah.
Well, and Joe makes a good point. I put it up on the screen there. Joe from Winnipeg, Happy New Year to you, Joe. You know, saying that the game on Sunday, January 16th has been postponed. But the game the night before in Winnipeg has not yet been postponed, which is sort of another
weird layer. I saw something on Twitter that had, I don't remember.
I think it was Ryan Moyer, who's the stats guy, tweeted something about the Senators game. They're going to Calgary after they're supposed to be in Winnipeg. And it sounds like that game might not end up being rescheduled. It's all in flux is basically what it boils down to scheduling wise. And we know, barring anything unforeseen, that we're going to have a post-game show tomorrow afternoon, right around 5:45 p.m., right? I guess that's tomorrow evening if you want, that there should be a post-game show, and that'll be the first post-game show in the last couple of weeks because it's been 2 weeks since the Jets were last on the ice. And, you know, I have to believe, gentlemen, as we move away from the ongoing, you know, COVID questions, I have to believe that this is a blessing in disguise for this Winnipeg Jets team. You know, you have a new coach come in, and how often in NHL history has a new coach, I don't think it's ever happened before, gets this 2 week period of time in the middle of the season in which to implement, you know, his approach and implement his new strategies. It's unheard of. And I have to believe that it's an advantage to the Winnipeg Jets in that they're not learning, you know, Dave Lowry's approach on the fly. They've had this last, you know, couple weeks, albeit with the Christmas break in there, you know, that they've really been able to work at it and understand it and really come to know his philosophy, come to understand his philosophy and be able to try and act accordingly. To me, that's a tremendous advantage.
Yeah, it's an absolute advantage for the Jets and Lowry. And even though, Drew, as you mentioned, you know, like it's just bonus practice time for these guys. And you know, they get to work on some things that they otherwise wouldn't have got to work on because they know Lowry, right? He's been here for a couple of years, but they don't know him as a head coach. So your point is well taken that when you're talking about, you know, some different personnel, whether it's on special teams or, you know, just regular lines, right, guys? You know, we were talking about the Moose earlier, but it's basically been, you know, we joke about the Minuk Moose minute, but I mean, it seems like, you know, every 12 hours, you know, a new player is being called up to the taxi squad, right? So that's a whole new thing, right, guys? Like, you know, I got to give Dave M credit. I mean, I give Dave M credit a lot, but we talked about that at the credit beginning of the year, right?
Alive, credit for keeping you married. You
absolutely. Know, there's a lot of things that, you know, I have to thank Dave for, but, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of the year, specifically as it relates to goalies, right? And how, you know, they could have, you know, had some type of maybe modified or smaller taxi squad as compared to last year. And then lo and behold, you know, we're back in the same situation as we were last year, right? So I think that's even more reason, Drew, that, you know, Dave Lowry, especially, and the rest of the Jets coaching staff has been loving these bonus practices, right? Because, you know, not only do you get to work on, you know, whether it's, you know, some finer details in, you know, special teams or whatever it is, there's no shortage of things to work on for any team, but you also get to, you know, bring in some of these players that are on the taxi squad and, you know, you get to see them on the kind of quote unquote fifth line or whatever you want to call it. Right. So I think, you know, the Jets went into this kind of, whatever you want to call it, this kind of extended holiday break here on a high note after winning against the St. Louis Blues. But there's no doubt, you know, guys, that, you know, the Jets know that they have to put some points together. And, you know, it starts off, you know, a little bit tough with Vegas, who won again last night. But then you've got Arizona. So, you know, that's a much easier game, even though you don't want to take them lightly. We know what happened, you know, not too long ago in Winnipeg, right? Exactly. So, I do think, Drew, that...
You making any guarantees there, Ben?
No. My New Year's resolution for 2022, boys, is no more guarantees.
That's
you're not going to hear any from me,
Drew. New Year's resolution there. But okay, that's good. I think everybody appreciates that. It's sort of, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, you know, the Vegas won last night. It's sort of bizarre. Like, I'm admittedly, I've been out of touch a little bit, but it's like there's games going on, but it feels like here in Canada, there's almost like not games going on, even though I know some of the Canadian teams have been playing. It's almost, again, like we saw last year, you know, separate leagues are occurring because the U.S. games are just going on and, you know, with, you know, no change to speak of, you know, a lot of players obviously unavailable, but, you know, the Canadian teams, depending on how the schedule fell in for the Jets, it fell in such a way that they just haven't had any games. And so this practice time, and Dave, you've been covering it on the website all holidays long, doing your usual great job, of course, but it just, you know, you hear about, you know, Dave Lowry putting an emphasis again on getting in front of the net, you know, the net drive offensively, and then, you know, preventing net front chances defensively. And you hear about Jamie Compan, who's now, you know, back here and really getting into, I think, getting back into the routine of things when it comes to the Jets power play and some of the changes that we're seeing there. And I mean, this isn't a Jets team at full strength by any means. I mean, you know that, you know, Blake Wheeler is still out of the lineup. You know, Evgeny Svechnikov is still day to day. Andrew Kopp is likely to play. All things, you know, all he's signs point to that he's going to play tomorrow in Vegas. So it is really just it's been a bizarre couple weeks here as everybody's trying to find themselves again. Almost it's like a reset. You know, you haven't liked, you know, how the first quarter or the first, you know, 40 games of the season have been going. Not quite that many. Now you get a big reset button and a chance to go strong from the new year on.
Yeah, and as Mark in the chat is pointing out, it took Bruce Boudreau 24 hours to turn the Canucks into like an unstoppable juggernaut. But the reality is that, you know, this is the current situation in Canada, and Dave Lowry is dealing with the hand that's been dealt to him, which is, you know, not a lot of games. I mean, you talk about a benefit for a guy like Blake Wheeler instead of missing 8 games right now, or, you know, obviously 8 games have some games were in the future that have been postponed. But, you know, that's a number of games that he'll be ready to go when he's back and he's healthy. So that'll be an interesting situation for Wheeler, and we'll see, you know, if there's any news on him after the road trip. But I agree in the sense that this team does seem, I don't want to say reborn because that's kind of weird, but like I think it's just they feel like it sounds like there's a new lease on life. And you know what? I wrote about this in the papers. I'd be pretty pissed off if I was the Ottawa Senators or the St. Louis Blues, who had to deal with brutal. I mean, the Calgary Flames, but they didn't play. The Senators and the Blues, as far as I can recall, were probably the two teams dealt with the biggest impact in terms of playing shorthanded, playing without, you know, because they couldn't use a taxi squad.
The Flames too, Dave.
No, I know the Flames, but I don't know that they had to play a lot of games, though, is what I'm saying. Like, I know they dealt, obviously, with a significant COVID situation.
Yeah, but you're talking about, it was because to your point, Dave, because the Senators and the Blues, they had their COVID situations almost like a month ago before it really ramped up league-wide.
Right.
And, you know, and the Islanders earlier in the year had the same situation where the league at that point was sort of too damn bad. And then obviously it got to the point where they couldn't just say too damn bad anymore because it was a competitive imbalance situation going on.
Right. But again, if you're the St. Louis Blues were remarkable because
they still succeeded. They
didn't seem to miss a beat, but, you know, talk about derailing your season. Anyways, that's just another issue. I just think like the NHL was a little bit, you know, they showed they were a little short-sighted to not think that they maybe needed to have some sort of taxi squad type situation, maybe not to a significant degree, but at least something that would have allowed teams to do this. So now, you know, they've implemented the rules and you can only be on the taxi squad for 20 days. So that's why they have to. That's why guys, when people are seeing like, Heinola or Perfetti or something like that, they're only on the taxi squad, and then they go back down to the Moose. A, it's because they want young guys to be playing, not sitting on a taxi squad. B, it's because they only allowed so many days between now and obviously the NHL All-Star Game, which for some reason is still going on this year, which I don't really understand the need for that. I mean, I don't understand why you felt the need to have an All-Star Game in a year you're going to the Olympics. That seems
forget that. How many hockey exactly? Drew's right. It is money. How many hockey fans actually knew that there was an All-Star game this year? Like, I'm not even joking.
I had no idea. I was shocked because usually it's, you know, when there's an Olympic year, there's no All-Star game because it makes perfect sense that that be the situation. Mm-hmm. But I was like, the All-Star game is still going on. It's like, I know it's all for money and it's all for ESPN and everything else, but I mean, come on.
You didn't have like young hockey players around the world saying, I can't wait to watch Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, and Austin Matthews at the Olympics. And then we're going to get an All-Star game too. Like it wasn't, that's not something that like a lot of kids were really looking forward to. So I'm with you, Dave, like similar to the wave. I mean, the All-Star game to me is not something that I'm going to be super excited to watch.
To answer the question from Victoria, the All-Star game is scheduled to be in Vegas in February. So, you know, anyways, it's bizarre. The reason I brought it up is simply because that's when the taxi squad will be done, will be dissolved. So the Jets have availed themselves of the taxi squad by, you know, putting guys like Cole Perfetti, who is now going to be up on the taxi squad. He's making the trip with the Jets. His 20th birthday today. Talk about a nice way to celebrate. He's a year late to being he's still a year early to be able to enjoy Vegas truly. Although Brendan Dillon was funny when Cole Perfetti was asked in the availability yesterday, you know, what are you doing for your 20th birthday? And then Brendan Dillon chimed in saying, we're taking you to Vegas. So or we're bringing him to Vegas. So that's a good opportunity for him. You know, he was given first power play opportunity yesterday. It sounds like he's not going to play based on what Dave Lowry said. He said he's just going to wait for him to get up to speed. So that's, you know, an indication that Perfetti was really just holding Andrew Kopp's spot for the on the third line. One thing I tweeted out yesterday, and I think it's true because Reichel has been playing with Lowry, with Adam Lowry. It's going to have to be difficult to make sure I clarify A. Lowry, D. Lowry.
Dave's not coming back and being a player coach, is he?
No, I don't think so. But the truth is that
could be Kyle Lowry as well.
Yeah, that's true. But anyways, the point is that, you know, I like the idea of using Reichel because he's a hard-nosed player on that third line with Kopp and Lowry. I think that could be a real good opportunity for him. And then I also like the idea of Jansen Harkins playing with Dubois and Connor. I think, you know, now's the time for Jansen Harkins. This is you're never going to get a better opportunity to prove that you deserve more ice time. This is his shot. So I think that's a real good opportunity for him. And like I said, it's on these guys to seize this opportunity when it's presented to them. Sometimes they don't get that chance. Sometimes they're limited to just a fourth line role, even if they want to play, you know, to seize that greater opportunity. Now's that time for a guy like Jansen Harkins to do that.
And I wanted to mention just, you know, quickly. There, yeah, sorry. Go ahead, sure. Drew.
I was going to say to your point there, Dave, you have the clean slate in that, with all due respect, Paul Maurice is not the head coach anymore. So you know that, you know, Dave Lowry, yeah, I know it's breaking news, but, you know, Dave Lowry, you know, as far as, you know, he hasn't, his tendencies, if he has tendencies, like most people do, you know, haven't been demonstrated as of yet.
Sorry, breaking news. Arvid Holm is joining the taxi squad.
Okay, there you go. There's the goaltender who's going to join
2017 seventh rounder. I'll never forget. I was at the draft doing it live with Huss in a hotel room in Chicago, and Arvid Holm was the last draft pick for the Jets, and we couldn't find anything online about him. So I remember Huss, Paul Edmonds, and I were just talking about Arvid Holm with really no knowledge, aside from knowing that he was a Swedish goaltender, but he's turned out to be quite a prospect.
Yeah, well, you know, talking about things with no knowledge has gone well with you for you for the last 12 years on this show. So
that's why I'm wearing the glasses, Drew. Why do you think I got these on?
Exactly. So that, I would assume that means that Holm will go on the road trip just to be a, you know, insurance for the Jets. I mean, you know, don't know for sure, but you would expect that way they'd probably take him on the road trip. But obviously we'll find out more. The Jets practicing this morning before probably just a brief practice before they head out.
I think he said 20-25 minutes.
Yeah. And which is sort of interesting because his practices, him being Dave Lowry in this instance, his practices have actually been longer than Paul Maurice's typically have been, you know, getting closer to the hour mark. But I think that's just a function of also not having any games.
By the way, did I see, Drew, sorry to cut you off, did I see that Christian Vesalainen bag skated himself at practice?
Yeah, because again, he hadn't been on the ice in a while and just wanted to sort of, you know, you want to get rid of that lactic acid that's built up in your legs. Having, you know, because I'm a pro athlete, I know all about lactic acid.
Yeah, I was going to say lactic what?
But, you know, he wanted to get sort of just get that burn and get everything, you know, get the blood flowing again. And so he, you know, had a good hard skate, I think, after the Jets practice one of the days last week, if I'm not mistaken. Dave, you would know better than I would about the specific day that it was. But I mean, again, when you're off the ice or you're not in, you know, going through the motions of a game and the, you know, the you can't recreate game activity, you sometimes want those harder practices and you sometimes want those more challenging, you know, times on the ice just to be able to feel a game situation as best as you can. And I think that's what you've been seeing from the Jets. And I think that's what you've been seeing, that's what you've been seeing from Dave Lowry and his approach the last couple of weeks. It really is just a very odd situation. And what I was saying before Dave broke that Arvid Holm news, can I say that you broke that Arvid Holm news or you just replied what was on Twitter either way?
Moose Insider.
The Moose Insider. Exactly what I was saying is that it seems like there's a clean slate. So a guy like Jansen Harkins, who had been sort of pigeonholed, as that sort of third line guy or a fourth line guy who's only going to get very limited minutes under Paul Maurice. For Dave Lowry, it doesn't seem like he's got any sort of limitations to what Jansen Harkins can do. So you go out there, Jansen Harkins, and you prove yourself in this opportunity and what a great opportunity it is. And it's likely coming to you as a result of some injuries and some other things going up and down the roster. But go out there and prove yourself, and maybe your trajectory changes as to what the Jets think they have in you. And I think it's a clean slate for so many of these guys. And for some of the guys who were maybe a little comfortable in their roles, knowing that they were always going to get a certain amount of minutes per game, the Scheifele's, the Wheelers, when he was in the lineup under Paul Maurice and things of that, it's also, hey, new sheriff in town, things might change. You have to, prove it to me. What have you done for me lately? And I think it's a really, it's an exciting,
it's a great thing. It's a great thing, Drew, for this Jets. Team. Yeah, absolutely. I if I could just continue your thought, I know you probably don't want me to, continue your thought because I'll just butcher it. But
no,
you're right. I mean, Jansen Harkins is a player that we've talked a lot about over the last, two or three years. And obviously last year was an unfortunate situation for him with him being a regular healthy scratch, right? So like he didn't like that. And then obviously, this year, he's kind of been a little bit all over the place, as you said. So, yeah, I'm interested to see Connor Dubois. We know that they've had excellent results this year. But, yeah, Harkins, there's no doubt that Harkins has the skill to play in the top six. And I think, a lot of people will look at, Harkins' production at the NHL level and they'll say, he hasn't scored a lot of goals. Well, I think a lot of that has to do with his usage, right? So this is a great opportunity for him. And, Dave mentioned Christian Reichel, who's been one of the most consistent Moose players for the last several years. Like, I think we assume that, Andrew Kopp is going to go on that third line, right? With the Adam Lowry line. And then I'm not sure, if the fourth line is going to be Tony Nato, Gustafson, Vesalainen, and Dave. It looks like there's a good chance that is going to be the line. I mean, we haven't even talked about, Cole Perfetti and how he's going to be used. I don't think any of us expect him to play tomorrow afternoon in Vegas, but I think we do expect to see him in the lineup. We shouldn't say that there's no chance that he's going to be in the lineup, but I don't think we expect him to be in the lineup tomorrow afternoon. But I think there's always the chance that he's going to get some NHL action here, especially with the uncertain situation around COVID and some other players that are dealing with injuries on the Jets. So there's no doubt that this Jets team is going to look a lot different tomorrow afternoon than it did a couple of weeks ago against St. Louis.
Yeah, and I think it was it Brendan Dillon, Dave, who said yesterday that the first period tomorrow could very well be ugly for the Jets, given that they haven't been, in a game situation in a full 2 weeks. And it's sort of, the last game was that Sunday afternoon game against the Blues. So, it is almost, a full, 14 days, but given that it's a 1 o'clock Central, a 1 o'clock Pacific time start. Actually, what time zone is Vegas even in now? Are they in Pacific or Mountain?
Pacific.
Are they still Pacific? I don't. Anyways, it's a 1 o'clock start locally in Vegas, which is a really weird time. And 3 o'clock Central start here in Winnipeg tomorrow.
Bro, you should know that. You were just at Hakkasan a few weeks ago.
is that a music festival?
No, it's a club, isn't it? Isn't it a club?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was
Mandalay Bay, right, Dave?
Yeah,
I know Dave's waiting for what's it called? Electric Daisy?
If you have Vegas questions, ask Dave, because I'm pretty sure Dave has been to Vegas like 100 times. So
I do have a residency there.
Exactly. DJ Dave, it's the secret safe with us. In any event, it really is going to be an interesting time, and I'm excited for it. And you mentioned Cole Perfetti, and so let's sort of get into him a little bit. Scotty Billick's going to join us. What time is Scotty joining us at? Is he at 9:30?
He should be joining us any minute, 9:30. Okay, so I think it's a minute before 9:30.
I'll tell you what, why don't we do this? Let's take a break. We'll take our first break of the morning. When we come back, Scotty Billick's going to join us. Much more Jets talk for you. It's the 1st of January. It's a new year, both in the calendar and potentially for the Winnipeg Jets. Stay with us. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platforms. Saturday morning, the bottom of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Happy New Year, one and all. I am your host, Drew Mandel. Dave Manuk in the top right, his head still on fire. Ezra Ginsberg in those glasses in the bottom middle. Get the flashers going. I want to see them flashing again. I like the jovial spirit that you guys are both bringing to the show this morning.
There we go.
There you go, Ezzy. I like that. It's nice. It's warming me up because it's absolutely frigid outside. Don't go outside.
It's not okay. It is not okay outside to do anything.
It's the point. Normally, Saturday mornings, around 11 o'clock after we're done, the family and I, we go to the playground, let the kids burn off some of that energy. I don't think
that's
going to necessarily be in the cards today. It's just too damn cold out there. It's just really what it boils down to.
I looked at the temperature, looked at the weather. I should correct myself here. And with the wind chill, it was minus 47. Like, that told me everything I needed to know about the day.
Yeah.
Like, meaning I wasn't going to be going outside. I went outside to take out the recycling boys, and that's about it.
Okay, well, good for you. I'm glad that you. How about composting? Were you doing any composting yesterday?
We do have a compost because the previous owners of our house left that there, but I don't think we've used it. We've used the rain barrel quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
That's how Ezzy showers.
Yeah. Dave knows about, exactly. I use that for my showers, but Dave M knows about rainwater, really good for the plants.
It is.
So we use that for our plants.
Now, Dave, were you up in the Clear Lake Riding Mountain area? Is that what I saw on the social media?
I was.
And how are the bison at the Lake Audie bison enclosure?
It was cool, actually. I have to say, I've never been there in the winter, and it was really neat to be able to get up there and drive around, check the roads. We're good until Monday when it was supposed to come back, and then all of a sudden the world decided to dump a little bit of snow on. First time in my life, I think, I've ever been in Manitoba's coldest place, because Wasagamine was I think listed on one of those days as the coldest spot in Manitoba, so that was interesting. But it's gorgeous up there. It's the winter, summer, spring, or fall, you never can go wrong in Riding Mountains. So love being up there, although everything is closed essentially. There's like two businesses open, but you don't really need much when you're there, so it's nice. And the bison enclosure was kind of neat, and everybody was friendly. It was good times.
That's good. Yeah, it looked like a nice, you're absolutely right. Riding Mountain, beautiful. You and I had a chance to run into each other there.
A chance encounter, if you will.
A chance encounter when we were both wearing the exact same Illegal Curve shirt. So that was...
And you guys went horseback riding together, right?
We did.
That's right. But we were nude horse. When we did that. We did that. One horse, nude horseback riding.
All right. Well, you just ruined it, Drew.
That's what I'm pretty good at.
Steve Biscuit over here.
Oh, here he comes. We'll bring him into the show momentarily. We welcome back to the program. Nobody else.
I don't know, Drew. I mean, Scotty, I'm wondering the same thing. I was actually going to leave. Now that you're here, I'm like, I'm out.
Oh, Scotty, you didn't just join the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You actually just joined Chat Roulette.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh, those are sweet. Good morning, Scotty. Morning. Those are actually pretty cool. I'm not gonna hate on those.
I'm pretty cool.
Can't hate on that. So, sorry I'm late. I'm trying to make a coffee. Keurig is a little slow, so.
That's okay. I hope you put something alcoholic in that coffee. It is.
I got to work this morning, Drew. Drew, I'm a responsible reporter. I have to work this morning. So
that's fair. I apologize. Yeah, I would never. Okay. I would never dare. Yes, because never before have alcohol and reporters gone together hand in hand. It's never been a thing.
I'm the new age of these. Anyways. You want to talk hockey?
Yeah, let's talk hockey. We've covered nude horseback riding and chat roulette, so we'll let's talk hockey.
Oh my goodness,
Scotty, we were saying that it's it's unprecedented for a new coach to come in and get almost a mini training camp, a 2-week training camp in the middle of the season. how beneficial do you think this will be for the Jets? Because the three of us, and this might be a bit of a cautionary tale, the three of us sort of all agreed that this is a significant advantage to the Jets, given that, you know, typically a new coach comes in and it's a little bit of chaos in the midst of games, and there were no games to be played.
I do agree with that. I mean, and I think it's because, you know, Dave Lowry seemed to have one thing that he wanted to focus on, and that obviously was working on NetFront. And he talked about that being twofold. He got 2 weeks to work on that. And they've had some marathon practices here. And you might not think a 65-minute practice is, or people are watching this might not think a 65-minute practice is a marathon by any means, but, you know, for NHL standards, it's pretty long. And there's been a couple of those. One was clocked in at 60, the other one clocked in at 65. I think he's gone about it, you know, sort of the way that you probably hope he would as a new coach coming in. It hasn't been, you know, okay, let's try and feel out what the players think. No, like it's been a good skate every skate. There hasn't been any kind of letdown. It's go, go, go. He's barked at guys at times. At one point, he kind of yelled at a guy saying, you know, the young guys will play over you, which I thought was really interesting. That wasn't a verbatim quote. There was a few swears in there. But it was, you know, it was interesting to just kind of watch kind of Dave Lowry put his stamp on this team over the last couple of weeks in terms of, you know, this is how we want to play. And like, we might not think that getting to the net is such a huge thing in hockey. You know, that should be something that you do. But the Jets haven't been doing that. Right. And so it's kind of been twofold. They've worked on that, you know, obviously primarily on the, and in offensive capacity. But that's also helped in a defensive capacity because, you know, the Jets defensemen have had to defend this the whole time that they've done it. And they've spent a few days, you know, almost exclusively kind of doing that. So, yeah, I think it has been kind of a mini camp. You know, the thing is it's almost what a mini camp would be if it was 2 weeks later and there was a deadline at that start of the 2 weeks where you could cut down your roster and you had to cut it down to what it is. So, you know, I sort of think that, yeah, like I think it's been really beneficial, but we're going to see tomorrow, right? I mean, I guess that's kind of, you know, the crux of all this is what does tomorrow look like? Because Jets, as of tomorrow, will not have played in 2 weeks, you know, two full weeks. You know, that's also a lot of off time midseason, right? Like you don't often get a 2 week training camp miss midseason, but you also don't usually get 2 weeks off midseason. So it's going to be interesting. Well, like off from game action, at least. So it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously the Christmas break was baked into all that, and that was always going to be there. It'll be interesting to see kind of how the Jets kind of come out against, you know, what should be a pretty good Vegas team. And, you know, this trip outside of Arizona, I mean, you're playing Vegas and then you're playing Colorado, which might be your biggest test on this road trip. And then again, you come home and you don't have anything to do again for, you know, almost a week. Right. And, you know, so it's a weird schedule. And, you know, if the Jets get their way in terms of, you know, shutting down the rest of the home games here, and we'll see about that January 15th date against Ottawa that hasn't been postponed yet. But, you know, I think ideally they don't want to play at home in the month of January and move all those games into February with the hope that potentially you can have fans back in the building, which, I mean, if you guys have, for anybody who's watched the COVID numbers, I'm not sure that's even a foregone conclusion that fans will be allowed back in. But, you know, at the same time, yeah, like, you know, to go back to your original question, I think it has been beneficial for this team, if only for the fact that they've worked on something that's kind of plagued them this season. Because if you think about that one Arizona game, yeah, they got 46 or 47 shots on goal, but how many of those came from the perimeter, and how many times were people wishing after that game and even during it that the Jets would go to the net, because that's seemingly the only thing they were missing in that game. Dave Lowry's obviously latched on to that. He's talked ad nauseum about how that's how goals are scored in the NHL. And so he's gone out and kind of, you know, for lack of done something about it, right? And so we're going to see kind of how that translates, I suppose, tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon in Las Vegas.
And obviously, you know, further to your point, Scotty, like Vegas played last night, right? So
right,
that's a bit of a disadvantage for the Jets. I don't know how big of a disadvantage that really is, but I think a lot of people are expecting the game to start off maybe a little bit slower than the Jets would like, but maybe, you know, they are going to pop in an early goal. You just never know, right? But I wanted to ask you about Cole Perfetti, right? Because, you know, he's obviously had a whirlwind last few days, right? Like the World Juniors are canceled. He's absolutely lighting it up in the first couple of games for Canada. And then as he wrote about, right, like he's back at practice, he's on the top power play unit. And I wanted to ask you about his usage because, you know, you spoke with Dave Lowry and, you know, Perfetti spoke with the media yesterday. Like, it seems like there is a chance that he plays tomorrow afternoon, but if you kind of read a little bit more into Dave Lowry's comments, you know, him saying that, you know, we want him up with the team, we want him practicing. I mean, do you see a possibility of Perfetti playing tomorrow? And if not, do you see him maybe getting into that game against Arizona?
Well, and that's going to be kind of, you know, I think that's what's interesting about what we're going to learn about Dave Lowry here, right? So if he doesn't play tomorrow, and he almost kind of threw cold water on that yesterday when we were asking about, you know, is it possible for Perfetti, who, you know, it was odd, right? He come into practice, and I understand that Andrew Kopp isn't there, but the third line was Christian Reichel, Adam Lowry, and Cole Perfetti. So you would think, you know, as a reporter or even as a fan, well, okay, if somebody's getting cut from that line, it's probably Christian Reichel. It's not because Christian Reichel is a bad player. It's because Cole Perfetti is a better one. And, you know, I don't think anybody's going to argue that point. But we don't know, is Evgeny Svechnikov today going to shed his yellow non-contact jersey? If he does, is he an option? Andrew Kopp's obviously going to, well, he's going to be in Vegas. Is he ready to play? I mean, he hasn't practiced with the team since it must have been December 20th, I think. So we're going on almost 2 weeks now with that. But the way that he kind of said it yesterday is like, well, we've kind of had a talk and, you know, we're not going to, we want him to practice with the team and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not sure, but I do think he is an option on this trip. And I don't think they brought him up. Well, again, we're going to see, because Dave Lowry said initially about the taxi squad, he doesn't want young guys on there that are just going to sit there. He'd rather have them play in the AHL. We've heard this before. We're going to now see if that's kind of how he, if that's actually his kind of philosophy on it. Does he want, you know, his young guys playing if they're on that taxi squad? So does he play Arizona? And how short is the leash for some of these guys? You know, let's say Christian Vesalainen doesn't have a great game. Is he out of the lineup and Cole Perfetti comes in? What about Jansen Harkins, who, you know, if Svechnikov isn't back, is looking like he's playing on the second line with Dubois and Kyle Connor. So is that an option to put Cole Perfetti there if Jansen Harkins doesn't play a game? I think we're going to learn about that. I do think if they're taking them, the plan is to play them at least one game. I don't think they will, because why not just put them back with the Moose and let them play there? Like, that's what they've done with Ville, because they know that all their defensemen are there. And you know, when Ville was brought up to the taxi squad, you know, it was only to be a warm body while Neil Pionk was dealing with his travel issues. So I am curious to see, and I think this is part of it. We haven't had a lot of games with Dave Lowry behind the bench. The first one you can't really count because, you know, he was kind of interim coach that day. The second game, okay, there was more things. We've seen how he kind of deploys that Lowry line as a hard match almost against the other team's best. But I'm interested to see kind of how he deals with, you know, quote-unquote underperforming players. And seeing if you're going to take a guy like Cole Perfetti with you, are you going to actually play him? So I think that's what part of what we have to learn about Dave Lowry is not is he a liar or not, but is he kind of true to his word and whatever his kind of philosophy is with young players and go from there. So I'm uncertain that you're going to see him, like, you know, for all three games. I don't think you see him in the lineup tomorrow. But I think Arizona is a definite. And then from there, I think it's up to Cole Perfetti. If he gets an opportunity in Arizona, I think that's where you kind of want to see, you know, can he take charge of that, hold of that, and go? Because I think Dave Lowry will play Cole Perfetti a lot more minutes. Like, if he puts him on that third line, I know it's a checking line, and people are like, well, why would he play on a checking line? Well, I think he also play a lot of minutes in that line. If you look at Adam Lowry's line's minutes – since Dave Lowry took over, and I know that's Adam's or Adam's dad who's doing it, but I mean, I don't buy into any of that kind of stuff, obviously, but I think there is a role for that and a lot of minutes there, so it wouldn't be that he's doing that. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with that. And yeah, I think a lot of people are just kind of waiting to see kind of how Dave Lowry's coaching philosophy kind of plays out, once games kind of restart here for the Jets.
Saturday morning, New Year's Day. No better way to ring it in than when with Scotty Billick and the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel. We're live on all of our social media platforms. Reminder, the Illegal Curve post-game show tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, right around 5:45 p.m. as the Jets get back in action in Vegas against the Golden Knights.
No, Scotty, one of the things that this break has provided is an opportunity, right? You're expecting Evgeny Svechnikov, and you're now talking about potentially seeing him. I know he's been looking good in practice, but potentially shedding his non-contact uniform. Yeah. Blake Wheeler obviously gains all of these postponed games, so whenever he is ready to return. So there is an advantage from a health perspective, obviously, in addition to Dave Lowry being able to put his stamp. And you talked about it with a guy like Cole Perfetti, but again, the expectation, unless he really seizes some sort of opportunity, is that he'll probably be back down with the Manitoba Moose, and he'll be getting top line minutes with them versus third line here with the Jets. But I really want to key in on the guys like Jansen Harkins and even a Christian Reichel, who I personally think, having watched him a lot play for the Manitoba Moose, could be a good fit with Andrew Kopp and Adam Lowry on a third line. So what do you think about it from a guy like Jansen Harkins? We talked about it just a little bit before you came on the show. Just that idea of a guy like him who has some, is a cerebral player, but really was kind of pigeonholed into that fourth line role. Now here's his opportunity because Blake Wheeler isn't playing anytime soon. Don't you see this as forget about Christian Vezina and Christian Reichel. Don't you see this right now as the biggest audition in terms of it for Jansen Harkins?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's Jansen Harkins' time to do that, right? Like, I think this is kind of another Christian Vesalainen thing, right? It's time for the player to kind of make his move, plant his flag, whatever you want to call it, and go from there. And I think that's sort of where Jansen needs to work. He's getting, depending on what the lineup looks like tomorrow. I mean, he's arguably going to be on the second line. Some people will call it the first. And I think that's, a testament to what he's done with this team to get there. Like that's, he's almost like he's the 13th forward in terms of like who's going to come up into the top of the lineup. If somebody goes out, obviously with Blake Wheeler out. And then, so you have, you have Evgeny Svechnikov injured too. He kind of comes into that role and they move him into that. Cause I think they like the idea that he can play the right side right now. He's pretty malleable, that guy. I just wanted to see him kind of take it, right? I mean, I think we can all agree that Jansen Harkins plays really hard and does all the right things on the ice. I just want to see kind of him scoring goals and that, right? Like this is, I don't know what Dave Lowry's philosophy on this is yet, and we're going to learn that too. But, if you're going to play in the top six, do you have to produce? And maybe even in the bottom nine or the top nine, if you're going to be on that third line, do you have to produce or is it just purely a checking role with Dave Lowry? I guess we're going to find that out too, but I think Jansen Harkins is built for that role, right? Like he's a hard-nosed player, and Dave, you'll know this from watching the Moose a ton. This is the type of player that he is. He's good at this. He's tenacious on the puck, tenacious going after the puck. Like he's good at that sort of thing. So I think it is for him there, but I mean, you also got to wonder, okay, where are you going to play Christian Vesalainen then? Because before COVID, I think they started to like kind of what that line was looking like too. So I don't know. I mean, this is it. This is kind of the good problem to have when you have a couple of guys that are kind of staking a claim for a job or want that job. It's good internal competition with COVID right now. The Jets, fingers crossed, don't have to deal with that. But that is another option, right? If, you start having issues with that or, just whatever play. And I don't know how long Blake Wheeler is going to be out. I mean, Dave Lowry hasn't really answered any questions on Blake Wheeler just yet to see. And I think we can all agree it's going to be a while. Is it another month or two? I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look like he needed surgery. So it's not like Brandon Tanev in Seattle where, a season-ending ACL injury. But, we're still kind of kind of waiting to see how it goes. So, and then the other thing too is, you know, when's Jansen Harkins going to kind of, well, you know, do his PK work and that sort of thing. You know, are we going to see him more on that? And again, I think we need to see more game action. And that's kind of the thing that we've been robbed of here over, you know, because of COVID and because of obviously the restrictions here. We haven't really got to see enough of what Dave Lowry and how he's going to kind of do that. So, and just to go on to the chat, because I know you guys love the chat. could it be an advantage? Craig Penner asked, could it be an advantage for Perfetti? He's the only judge that's actually played game time. I think so, right? Like, and I think that's part of it too. And that's why he's with the club. Is here's the only guy who's played two meaningful games in the last 2 weeks. It's mm-hmm. more than anybody else on this roster. So it might put him ahead. I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where, it's a possibility. Again, chalk it up to another thing that we got to figure out how Dave Lowry thinks. And, you know, people are going to say, oh, he just thinks like Paul Maurice. And I don't think that's true because that's not what we've seen at practice. Like, practices have been a lot different looking than they were under Paul Maurice. I don't want to call it coddling. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, put down Paul Maurice here, but practices weren't the same as they are under Dave Lowry. Is it because we've had this 2 week window and he's just pushing guys really hard to keep them in shape? I don't know. But right now, I mean, Dave Lowry has come in and been very direct in his practices. So yeah, it's just an interesting thing. Anyway,
to my point, Scotty, I mean, we've talked a lot about the players who have, you know, and maybe a newfound opportunity under Dave Lowry. How about those guys who had sort of maybe been in a bit of a comfortable lull under Paul Maurice, knowing that they were going to get X amount of minutes almost no matter how they played or no matter the effort they put forward? I mean, obviously, Shifley and Wheeler come to mind there, you know, to maybe a lesser extent, Connor and Ehlers, because their, you know, time tended to fluctuate a little bit. I mean, those guys, I think, have to have almost that they have it's there's something to prove there for guys who had maybe been a little bit comfortable for the last little while.
I agree, and I think we kind of saw that in the first couple of games where you saw the minute discrepancy between Blake or Mark Scheifele and Pierre-Luc Dubois shrink. Mm-hmm. You saw Nikolai Ehlers playing more minutes and was moved up into a more prominent role, you know the top line, you know, so it's or second line. Again, it really depends how you look at that those lines, but either way, I mean, he was moved up at Ehlers, and that's the kind of thing that a lot of people have been clamoring for here is, you know, let's get Nikolai Ehlers more involved in the game. It's interesting because we haven't seen Blake Wheeler under Dave Lowry. And that's going to be one of the things where, okay, so when Blake Wheeler is ready to play again, where does he go? Is he now a third-line player and Dave Lowry plays him there? I'm not sure that the relationship between Dave Lowry and Blake Wheeler is anywhere close to the one that was between him and or Wheeler and Paul Maurice. So there's no allegiances, let's say. There's nothing there to worry about. I think, this is like the easiest way not to answer the question is to say that, well, we haven't seen Dave Lowry enough, but I think those are some of the things we're going to learn about him. Is he a guy that is just like, okay, no, Blake Wheeler goes back into the top six, we'll fit him in, shoehorn him in somewhere and go from there? I'm not sure that's the case. And I just don't think that the leash is long for really anybody right now. I think guys will move up and down the lineup as they are. Now, I'm not the leash is longer for certain guys. I think nobody should be under any false illusion that that's not the case. I mean, you have world-class players on this team. But it got to a point, and everybody would agree, that Mark Scheifele and maybe even Blake Wheeler could play a certain way and not, you know, it wouldn't be a very optimal way of playing, and they wouldn't experience any real, other than that Hockey Night in Canada game in Toronto, any real issues, you know. It was just kind of status quo. I think guys feel uncomfortable now. I think that's it, right? I mean, you're playing under a new head coach. He doesn't seem to care what you think. You know, he just wants to win hockey games. So there's less of that relational thing that you get from a coach that had been in place for 9 years. You know, like, I mean, this is just it. I mean, I think that's part of the problem here is 9 years is too long for a head coach. some will disagree with that. Some will look to John Cooper and say, whatever. Well, John Cooper has two Stanley Cup rings, so it's a little bit different situation.
Cooper is a great motivator. You're absolutely right about that, though.
Yeah, and that's what I think, right? You know, like, that's – I think, again, part of it, we have to wait and see what he does with Wheeler. But I do think just from the, you know, that whole interaction, I think it was with Dylan DeMello. And like, I don't want to like, you know, I don't want to quote it verbatim, but it was, if you're not going to do this drill right or whatever, the young kid's going to play over you. And I think Ville Heinola was in the lineup that, like, he was in the practice that day. And I think it was just a subtle reminder to some of these guys that their spot isn't necessarily guaranteed, even though it probably is. It's that, again, like you said, fear, you know, and I think that is part of it. Dave Lowry, from what I've seen, pulls no punches and he gives no blank. And I think
curse on the show.
I'm not going to, though. It's a family program. But that's, you know, I've seen a Dave Lowry that doesn't seem to, you know, I just don't think he has any ties to this team in terms of the players. I think he has to come in and coach a different way. And I think he's smart enough to see that. Let's not forget, Dave Lowry's played 1,000 games in the NHL and has been a head coach at the WHL level successfully at times, and also been an assistant coach in the NHL as well. So I think he understands. Like, I don't think Dave Lowry is just this guy who's just taking over for Paul Maurice and kind of holding Paul Maurice's clipboard anymore. No, I think Dave Lowry has his own style. And part of that style is, I'm not friends with any of you. I'm your head coach. And that's where the relationship ends. So yeah, you can come talk to me, but we're not going to be buddy-buddy, and there's no kind of whatever. It's just, I'm the head coach and you do what I say. And we've seen that so far. And, you know, I understand fans don't get to see the practice, but like, I that's how I feel about how Dave Lowry has handled practices. They have been intense at times, and they've pulled no punches. And I think that's, you know, from watching practices over the last 8 years, you see a difference. It's kind of a stark difference between that and the style that Paul Maurice ran his practice. And I think that bodes well for this team if that's kind of how he's going to, I suppose, run it, you know, but from behind the bench.
No, I think you make some really good points about Dave Lowry there, Scotty. And I wanted to ask you about the goaltending, right? Because there's no shortage of storylines, you know, for the Jets, right? New faces, you know, up front, just the 2 weeks, as you mentioned earlier, you know, between games. But, and specifically wanted to ask you about Lauren Brossoit, because obviously, you know, we expect Connor Hellebuck to get the start tomorrow afternoon. You know, Brossoit got the win yesterday at home against the Ducks. He's won his last, you know, couple of games. But, you know, I guess, what do you kind of make of this matchup, right? Because we know Hellebuck and Brossoit are really good friends. We know Vegas is one of the best offensive teams in the league. So obviously Hellebuck, we know he's going to have to be sharp. But Brossoit has played some really good hockey this year. I think last time I checked, he has 8 wins on the season. We should mention that Leonard, you know, there is a chance that he will be back, but we're going to wait for an update here,
right?
Probably from, you know, Jesse Granger or others who cover the Golden Knights. But what do you kind of make of that matchup, you know, between Brossoit and Hellebuck, who obviously, you know, had that relationship, you know, here in Winnipeg, you know, forming that good one-two right combo for the Jets and net.
Yeah, it's kind of like the master and the apprentice, I suppose, a little bit in that. And yeah, I mean, these guys train in the off season. They have the same agent. I mean, everything is the same, right? I mean, they go to the same, I believe it's the net three, no, whatever that Adam Francilia's program that is out there in BC. They've both done that. You know, they're good friends, obviously. And, you know, but Lauren Brossoit always knew his kind of role here. I mean, he was second fiddle, and he knew that always. But I think it's interesting, right? I think, you know, I don't think Lauren Brossoit holds any sort of grudge here, anything like that. I think he understood that this team couldn't afford him anymore. And honest, to be fairly honest with you, I think that this team, you know, if anything, he's thankful for the opportunity he got, because, I mean, that's how he got paid this year. So, you know, that's the other thing. But yeah, I think there's always that internal competition, motivation, and all that you want to be the guy that outplays the other guy. So if Lauren Brossoit plays, of course, I think he wants to stick it to Connor Hellebuck, as good a friend as they are. I mean, regardless of that, I mean, first of all, it's hockey, and friendships kind of go to die once you close the gates on the game. And at the same time, you know, I think just as a competitive person that we know Lauren Brossoit to be, he wants to beat Connor Hellebuck. Yeah. I mean, does he want to put up a shutout against his own team? Of course he does. So yeah, like I think it's interesting. I kind of hope that's the matchup, right? Like I want to see Lauren Brossoit play against the Jets I think there's a certain pressure there too for LB to kind of play against his old team. And how does he kind of handle that too, right? And it'll be the first time that he's able to do that. So, yeah, it's interesting. I like Laurent Brossoit. He was always a good guy. Pretty funny at times. And but, yeah, I'm interested to see. I hope he plays. And we'll see what happens with Robin Leonard, obviously. And we know that that Connor Hellebuyck will be starting that game. I'm sure pretty much everybody there is chomping at the bit to kind of get going here. So,
you know, Scotty, one of the things that we, you know, you said you've had the benefit of watching 8,000 practices in a row. So, you know, part of that is being able to see, you know, hear from the players after practice. From an off the ice perspective, are you getting a sense that this team feels a little bit? I used the word reborn earlier. I kind of kicked myself in the ass for using it, but still, that they almost seem like they're a lighter group, given, you know, the way the season has kind of been up and down for them so far.
Yes, I do. I think renewal, like a reborn. I mean, I think we're talking like religion when you say reborn, born again.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Like I don't think the team is born again in that way.
Baptism by snow.
Yeah. No, I think
you there's a fire behind your head, Dave.
Yeah. I think there
You're
is.
You're now on Drew's Inferno, Scott.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that there is just a different. There's just an, I don't know. It, maybe an excitement is the right wrong word. I think that they don't see it. It was tough losing Paul Maurice, and I think a lot of the players felt that. But at the same time, like, I think a lot of players also probably agreed with Paul Maurice that a new voice was probably needed. And I think with Dave Lowry coming in, they've had that. And I think, too, it's just like, okay, there's been some time away. There's obviously the Christmas break. You know, there's been some chance to kind of reset. And then there's been like this, and like we talked about before, or I talked about earlier, kind of a clear direction that Dave Lowry wants to take this team, which I would say is something that's relatively, you know, welcoming for this team as well, just for the players that, you know, here's what we can do to win more hockey games, score more goals, you know, reduce the number of goals scored against us. So, like, I think that's sort of the mentality of the players, right, is I think they're excited. I mean, I think that's part of it. And I think part of it, too, is this break has kind of bred that, too, where it's there is an excitement to see what they can now do with all this practice time that they've had, these 8,000 practices and all that and that sort of thing. So, yeah, like, I think from each player standpoint, there's just this I don't want to say, like, I don't think Paul Maurice left on bad terms. So, like, it's hard to, like, say, like, oh, well, you know, all these guys have reborn, you know, that sort of thing, right? They found themselves again. I don't think that's it, but I think they're hearing that message again. And I think if nothing else, I think Dave Lowry has maybe just reinstilled some confidence into this team that they can play the game in an honest way and still win hockey games, right? You don't have to win by a perfect shot from the top of the circle. You can win by doing it the way most teams do, and that's grinding the puck down low, moving it into traffic, that sort of thing, right? Greasy goals, if you will. I think that's sort of the thing that he's got him to, where it's, you know, here were the Jets and here are the other teams, and this is how they score goals. And now the Jets are kind of moving up kind of in line with that. And now, again, we're going to see tomorrow if this all translates well. But I think that message has been well received. And I think a lot of the players have, you know, nobody's really, you know, I'll take yesterday's practice, for instance. They skated for like 45, 50 minutes, roughly around there. And then, like, it was, I'm not saying it was difficult to get guys off the ice, but guys were still on the ice. They were, you know, working with Cole Perfetti, or they were, you know, just working on shooting or skating drills or whatever. Like, the only few guys left the ice, and it took another 10 minutes before some of the vets even started trickling off of it. And I think those things are signs that guys aren't just like, let's show up at the rink and whatever. And this is after like some pretty dogged practices that they've had. Like, you know, I could see every reason why a player would be like, oh, we've done this. We had to start playing again on Boxing Day. It's now New Year's Eve. You know, let's just get out of here and go spend time. No, the guys weren't just anxious to leave. They were still playing on the ice. Like, I think that says something. I think it's telling when guys don't want to just run off, and, you know, you would usually use the golf course term, but, I mean, you couldn't golf now if you tried. But, right, like, I mean, to do whatever. And maybe protocols and all that stuff that's been reintroduced plays a part into that. But what I'm saying is, like, I think I've seen a difference in the players, in the mentality of the players right now. I just think it's a renewal. There's a renewal right now that's going on. I'm going to stop short of the revival religious talk here. But, you know, like, I think that's sort of, that would be what I see from what I've seen. That's kind of what I've kind of garnered from the players, just listening to them and kind of just watching them, right? Because a player can tell you that, you know, this is great and all and blah, 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 blah. But I also think that if you see it on the ice, and I think we have, that's kind of the telltale kind of factor here. And we've seen that. So, yeah.
The Jets are hitting the ice for practice a little bit later on this morning before heading off to Vegas. Scotty Billick will have it covered for our friends at the Winnipeg Sun. Scotty, again, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining
us.
Happy
New Year, Scotty.
Yeah, appreciate you two guys.
In the sun, and we'll see you at the Equestrian Center later on.
We'll do. Is Ezzy going to wear those glasses the whole show? Is that is that a goal?
I thought it was only going to be like first.
It's funny you mentioned that, Scotty, because I was going to take them off like right before you came on, and then I was like, it's New Year's, right? Like,
I got me, man. On. Like,
I'm yeah, and cool, it's you, right? I got to keep it.
I want to see them on Drew, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, Drew, are like, out of all you guys, and this is no offense. I know Ezzy's a father. Ezzy's a father, and Dave's not, obviously. But Drew always seems like the responsible guy. So I just want him to put on the Happy New Year crazy glasses.
You should have seen Drew in his 20s, Scotty. You wouldn't be saying
that. I'm sure it was
Wouldn't it be cool, Scott, if Ezzy could just reach, take the glasses off his face, kind of
just hand them through the camera?
Yes.
Reach through the thing, hand them to Drew, and Drew just kind of pick them upside and put on a pair. Wouldn't the IC just blow your mind in that case?
It would, yeah. And it would reassure the fact that you all guys just live in the same basement. So, yeah, but that's okay. Anyways.
It's a step up from the ditch we used to live in together. So, you know. In
you guys have come a long way since then, eh?
Exactly. Onwards.
Did someone say Charleswood? Is that what I heard? Charleswood?
No. Hey, no. Don't talk garbage about Charleswood. I almost swore there. Yeah. Charleswood is the hood.
I love Charleswood. I was there at a friend's house a couple of days ago. I was a former member of, do you remember Charleswood Golf Course? The nine-hole golf course?
Yeah.
That is now the William Clement Parkway.
Yes, that's right. That's the Moray Bridge and all that there. I remember, so I'm an older guy now. I remember when they were building that.
Scotty,
what was the best thing ever? Because I didn't have to go into, you could go, yeah, well, you could go, it was so much easier to get to Portage Avenue. Anyways. We're talking about ridiculous things. Now, this isn't even a hockey show anymore. I'm totally taking over your show here. There are big ditches in Charleswood, and we used to do really bad things, not in those ditches, because that sounds terrible, but we used to push things into those ditches in the springtime. And anyways, I'm kind of incriminating myself, so we won't go any further than that. Actually, it's probably been statute of limitations, right? No, I still need another 5 years. So, anyways, maybe in 5 years we can bring that up again. So,
we'll put it on the docket for the 2027 show.
Next time we have a New Year's Day show on next time New Year's Day falls on a Saturday, we'll talk about it. How about that? I think that'll be in about 6 years, so we can bring it up then.
Yeah, that's close enough. Shout out to Charles. Yeah, that's good enough.
Rob the Boulevard, baby. All
right.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah,
dress warm. See you later.
We'll do. Yeah.
There he goes, Scotty Billick, our good friend here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's never a dull moment, as you all well know, and it's always a fun time. And that's our friend Scotty Billick bringing that energy as well. Before we go to break, be sure to smash the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already done that. We always appreciate you doing so. When we come back, more Jets talk. Hour number two of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show continues. It's Saturday morning. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hi, Ez. A strange question for you, but why are you lying on the ground being crushed by a piano?
Well, Drew, I definitely tried to carry this baby grand piano down the stairs by myself, and somehow I failed miserably.
Right. I'm sorry. That was a silly question on my part. My apologies. Would you like me to call Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage to help you move the piano? They are the most experienced piano moving company in Winnipeg, after all.
Yes, please call Rolly's and hurry. This piano is very, very heavy.
Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage offers stress-free residential moving services while taking great care of your personal belongings, including your piano. At Rolly's, no job is too big or too small. For more information, visit rollys.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
Hey, it's Aaron from Bernstein's Deli.
That's right, Ezzy. I'm the guy who makes all your sandwich dreams come true.
So when you think Illegal Curve, what comes to you?
How about juicy chicken schnitzel, grilled salami, fried onions, melted cheddar cheese, and honey mustard on toasted thick-cut city rye bread?
Man, that's like the holy grail of sandwiches.
And so it shall be known as the Illegal Curve Sandwich.
The Illegal Curve Sandwich. Try it today at Bernstein's Deli. Find us at Corridon and Lanark or online at bernsteinsdeli.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile.
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
It's quarter after 10. It's Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. New Year's Day. Although every day should be New Year's Day when Ezzy's wearing those glasses. I think this should be, those should be like Dave's antlers. Whenever we got to some topic, Ezzy just needs to pull out those glasses at all times, just like Dave does with the moose and the antlers. I think that's a good go forward plan that I think we should implement.
Well, we could just change the words, right? Like instead of having Happy New Year up here, we could have, you know, Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I like
exactly.
It.
I mean, you know, Tubi Shvat, happy Tubi Shvat for all those who are celebrating trees in Israel. That could work. Anything like that. I think it's a good plan all around. I don't see any problems with that. The budget might get a little bit steep as we.
Yeah, I don't know if we can afford those types of.
Or we're gonna get a 3D printer, Ezzy, for you. So no worries. Oh. We'll just print that stuff for you.
So I can make a few silly Dave.
A few silly exactly. Dave. That's right. That's what we need. We need a gigantic macaroni Dave hanging out in the background at all times on this program. Big thanks to Scotty Billick for joining us. Always a fun time when Scotty joins us. The Jets practicing a little bit later. Dave will have that covered, of course, on illegalcurve.com, where you can get all of your latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news and audio just consistently updated at all
just
times.
Before we continue, I know we didn't touch on it a lot. I mean, anybody who has listened to this show, especially going back to the 1290 days, knows that Scotty Billick is one of our good friends and best regular guests, right? But we got to give him another shout out for his coverage of hockey and COVID, right, guys? Because I think
everybody sometimes at the exact same time.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, Dave, because, you know, nothing's funny about COVID, obviously, but I was, you know, following his COVID tweets. And then all of a sudden there were like Dave Lowry quotes, right? Like right after. So like, I was kind of like, is Scotty covering both at the same time, or is the COVID presser end? But you know,
it
just
got a little bit
Scott
weird when coronavirus was playing right wing on the Jets third line there for a little while. Is that a new player? Is that a call up from the Swiss league? I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah. But, I just wanted to get that in there, Drew, because you know, we know that this pandemic it's nearing an end, right? They're starting to, the doctors are starting to talk about it being an endemic at some point.
Is that
point,
one
right?
of your so. Guarantees? Is that
oh, no, do the reverse guarantee. Do the other guarantee is.
Yeah. I will guarantee you that COVID.
No, don't even start. Don't even joke. Don't even go there. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. Turn on your flashy lights and enjoy the bright colors.
Yeah, the Islanders won a game recently, guys, so that pick's looking pretty good.
There you go. Thank you for that one. Let's talk about Cole Perfetti and his usage, because I think that's sort of an interesting subplot to this three-game road trip that might end up being a four consecutive games away from the arena, depending on how the schedule lines up. Yeah, who knows? Doesn't matter. We'll figure it out. The schedule will figure itself out. The post-game shows will be the post-game shows again tomorrow afternoon, 5:45 or so, post-game show.
It's like when my dad said, what are you doing this summer, right in between university? I just said, we'll figure it out, Dad. We'll figure it out.
How'd that go over?
It went well. Yeah, I graduated, so.
Twice. You got two degrees and a pre-com.
I have a Bachelor of Arts degree. No big deal.
That's right. I thought you had a second degree from U of W.
Red River.
Pre-com. Yeah, well, I know you have Red River. I thought you
had pre-com diploma. Well, I mean, I have a couple of other master's degrees that I haven't told you about.
Like, oh, okay, right.
Biochemistry, whatever.
Yeah, it's okay. You're a researcher. You're working at the virology lab.
Exactly. I'm a researcher. That's what that. I'm a researcher.
As you got that at UBC, right?
Exactly. That's a little inside joke from Vegas that Dave's referencing there. Let's just say that there was a girl that caught Dave M's attention. Leave it at that.
Wow.
Cole Perfetti has caught a lot of people's attention. You see how I went back to what the topic there was. You know, how do you see the Jets using him? Do you see him getting into the lineup?
Probably
in the next few games?
As a forward, Drew, I would say.
And that's why he comes to the Legal Curve Hockey Show. Crack analysis like that.
Okay. You tell me what you think, when they're going to use him, what games he's going to get into, if he's going to get into any. Just take over the segment after that.
All right. Well, I'll tell you this. They're not going to use him tomorrow because Dave Lowry essentially poured, as Scott said, he poured cold water on that fact because he said he wants to get him up to game speed, even though, as he mentioned, that, you know, he's the only guy who's played any relevant games in the last little bit. And Brendan Dillon was giving him a hard time about being the leading scorer of the World Juniors, even though it was only two games. But I really don't anticipate that Cole Perfetti is. I mean, it's weird though, because he was playing on the first power play unit. So generally that would indicate, why would you give him any power play time? But, you know, I think it's about confidence. I think it's about giving him an opportunity to get comfortable with that system. And obviously he's doing that for the Manitoba Moose, playing on the first power play unit. So, you know, getting a chance with the Winnipeg Jets in the slot, I think that's, you know, a real good opportunity for him just to be comfortable with guys like, you know, Mark Scheifele, Kyle Connor, that sort of thing. So there are advantages. But yeah, like I said, to me, when they put him on the third line and not in like a second line role, you know, for that where Harkins is playing instead, you know, I thought maybe they'd give him a shot with Dubois and Connor. When they didn't, and they instead put him on with Reichel. I mean, he's used Reichel and Lowry now for all, I think almost all of the practices since that game on the you know, against St. Louis back on the 23rd. So because Reichel's played with Lowry so much, I just don't see him just being, you know, a placeholder versus Perfetti. So, and we heard, like I said, from Dave Lowry yesterday, who said he's going to be on the trip. They spoke to each other. He wants to get him up to speed. Because guys, remember, I mean, I know everybody wants to anoint Cole Perfetti, you know, ready for the NHL and ready to take over the NHL. And don't get me wrong, like I watch him play every Manitoba Moose game that he's played. He's a very good player. He's an excellent player. And he does things now that he didn't do earlier in the season. He does things now that he didn't do last year. So as I said yesterday, he's a guy who continues to grow. He just continues to absorb what he has taught. And one of the things Pascal Vincent talked about last year was you don't need to talk to him more than once because really he picks it up so quickly. So there's an advantage. Like I said, I'm of the opinion, obviously, and I've said this long times on the show, that when you have a younger player, let him play. Don't let him sit on a taxi squad. Don't let him sit in the press box. Let him get those minutes with the Jets or the Moose, whatever it is, but let him get those minutes. So Cole Perfetti, to me, we know he's not, again, based on way, we'll see practice again today, but my guess is he's right now for tomorrow's game, he's just a player for Andrew Kopp, because it really did seem like, you know, Dave Lowry said, and I think his words were, they anticipate Andrew Kopp will be a player for tomorrow's game because he brought his equipment to Michigan. He has been practicing. He has been able to get to the rink. So I think Andrew Kopp is the guy who's going to come in. I think Cole Perfetti will just go out for tomorrow's game. I think he's more likely to be playing against Arizona if you give him an opportunity. Obviously, it depends on how things go against Vegas. We'll see, you know, if you want to reward the team and keep them together. I mean, it's a good learning opportunity for Cole Perfetti, and he does have those two games under his belt. The Moose play two games against Iowa, and I think then they're on the road. So he probably isn't losing much by being with the Jets versus the Moose, obviously the two games. But I think, like I said, to answer your question, Drew, I think you're more likely to see Cole Perfetti in the Arizona game than you are. I don't think you're going to see him against Vegas.
That's right. And guys, you have to take it. You have to consider context, right? Like, I think a lot of people, you know, look at David Gustafson, right? And how long he had to wait to get his recall for the Jets. But Gustafson and Perfetti are, you know, 2 years apart, essentially. I don't think Gustafson turns 22 until I think it's April. But, you know, this is a 2018 draft pick versus a 2020 draft pick, right, Dave? Mm-hmm. So I think you have to factor that in as well. Not that you didn't, obviously, but you have to factor in the game here, right? This is the first game in 2 weeks for the Jets against the Vegas Golden Knights, who are a top team in that Pacific division. I mean, we all expected them to be. It took them a little bit of time to get to where they are. And if you, I don't know if you guys caught any of the game between the Golden Knights and the Ducks, but I mean, this Golden Knights team, even without Max Pacioretty, who's going to be, you know, out for quite a long time, you know, this is still an excellent team. You know, we talked about Lauren Brossois. I mean, you know, Leonard is obviously an excellent goaltender, but Brossois is an excellent backup. So he's won his last two starts. He's 8-3 on the season. So yeah, I don't think, you know, like you said, you know, all things, you know, being considered, Perfetti probably won't play tomorrow afternoon. But I think, Dave, you have to look at it, you know, in terms of, you know, this is an opportunity for Perfetti that he otherwise wouldn't have had, right? Because he, of course, would have been playing for Canada at the World Juniors. You know, most likely he would have been sent back to the Manitoba Moose. So this is just a great opportunity for him. And yeah, if he gets into a game or two, but this isn't about, you know, Perfetti sticking with the Jets for the rest of the season, guys. Like, we know Perfetti is going to be.
Let me stop you right there. Why isn't it? If he gets.
No, I'm just saying, I'm not saying that he won't stick with the Jets, Drew. All I'm saying is, I mean, you have to take it, you know, baby steps here, like one step at a time. Sure. Like, you can't, I think it's like cart before the horse, right? Like, people are already talking about, you know, like as if Perfetti is going to be a regular in the Jets lineup. And again, he could be. You have to just factor in, like what I meant by context is, I think, you know, Perfetti, I think, you know, it was, I forget who it was that made the comment. It might've been, you know, Craig Button. It might've been Gord Miller just talking about how smart Perfetti is, right? Like, I forget who the pass was to in that game, the first game against Czechia. He had three assists, if I'm not mistaken. Just like his good smarts, job. Right? Like, is, I don't know when that happened, but I thought I would get that in there.
When they weren't the Czech
I don't know when Czech anymore. Republic became Czechia, but I'm gonna say Czechia because that's now how that
as long
country
as you don't went. Go back to Czechoslovakia, you should
no,
be fine.
No, I won't go back there. But you know, so he's clearly, you know, a top player in that draft class, right? Like, we know he's gonna be a staple in the Jets top six for many years to come, right? Like, it might be 15 or 20 years, but you have to look at it like, we're just getting back into the season, guys. The Jets haven't played for 2 weeks. So, yes, could he play tomorrow afternoon, even though it looks unlikely with Andrew Kopp coming back? Yes. But right now, this is just an opportunity for him to practice, be with the team. And, yeah, he could stay with the team the whole year. Again, as a fan, I would love to see Perfetti stay with the Jets, and with the taxi squad, you know, that's now an option. But you just have to hold the brakes here a little bit, guys. Pump the brakes, and we'll see what happens. Because there's no doubt that, you know, he's ready for the NHL. It just matters, you know, it also will have to be factored in, you know, who else is available to the Jets and who will be available to Dave Lowry. But it's definitely interesting because we essentially thought, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Perfetti was going to be with the Moose for the rest of the season. And then maybe he'd get a call up in later in the season. But now, because of COVID and the taxi squad and everything like that, he's going to get a chance to prove himself.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ezzy. And I mean, this is, I think, we talked about it with Scotty. We talked about it in hour number one as well. This is just, I mean, I do feel that there is something to be said about the clean slate that I think a lot of these players now have in front of them, that they get to, you know, that it seems like Dave Lowry, as a coach should always do, is that, okay, you know, I really don't know any of you as from a head coaching perspective. I know you as an assistant coach, but
I think he knows his son a little bit, Drew.
Okay. Smart ass. You know, God forbid your New Year's resolution wouldn't have been being less of a smart ass, you know, but in any event, overlooking that flaw in you, I'd say that, you know, he's saying, you know, to all the players or the vast majority of players, look, you have a complete blank slate in front of you. You have to show me what you're going to do given the opportunity and prove to me that, you know, you deserve X role or you deserve Y role or you deserve Z role, whatever it may be, you know, and if you perform to that level, I'll give you the opportunity and the time on ice commensurate with that kind of performance. And that's got to be exciting to young players, probably a little nerve-wracking to some of the veteran players, but, you know, that is probably what this team needed and what this organization needed. Just a simple factor that, you know, and this is just human nature. Paul Maurice got comfortable and, you know, got stuck in his ways a little bit. And, you know, remember last year there was the conversation about if he's too stubborn. And of course it turned into the joke about he only, you know, the only thing he's stubborn about is, what was it, mustard on hot dogs or ketchup on hot dogs or whatever nonsense it was, rather than, you know, focus.
Ketchup has no place on a hot dog. You know that, Drew.
Okay, well, whatever the exact response was, and that sort of deflected from the crux of the matter, which was that he was too comfortable in how he deployed his players and he couldn't get out of that rut and he couldn't sort of see the forest through the trees. Well, now there's a new person in charge, and as a result, everybody is going to have to, you know, prove it to me, you know, the show me state, as they say about Missouri, you know, prove to me what you have done or the that you deserve the time that you're going to get on the ice. And I'm excited to see that from a Winnipeg Jets perspective. And I think all fans are probably excited to see that as well. And the Jets have, I mean, look, these games are important. You know, they're 30 games into the season now, the Jets are, and their record is not where they wanted it to be. And we've sort of talked about that a lot, you know, a couple weeks ago, and now they have this opportunity where you have, you know, 52 games remaining on the schedule, assuming that they get all 52 in, and I think they probably will, and it's up to the Winnipeg Jets to, you know, win, you know, a good number of those 52 games. You're looking at a team that probably has to win, you know, 30 of those 52 to really, maybe even a couple more than 30 to firmly establish themselves as a playoff team. And the opportunities in front of them, the talent is still there. It's not like all of a sudden they're bereft of talent. There's a new head coach in charge. And I would expect the Jets, admittedly, there'll probably be some rust tomorrow, but I would expect them to really hit the ground running and look almost reborn, as we talked about with Scott and we talked about in the first hour, gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, I think just kind of wrapping up the Perfetti talk, I mean, the truth is, as T. Konopoli says, if he makes your team better, then you keep him in the lineup. And I don't think there's any question about that. But, you know, if you're not getting the benefit to having him in the lineup, then you need to do what is best for the team. Because I think it was one of the comments that I just put up, but I think the reality is it was Robert Sutton's. Every game is important. I mean, the Jets are no longer in a position. Your 9-3-3 run is long ago. That was, you know, we talk about cushion. We talk about the standings bank, like the Minnesota Wild are off in yonder distance. Like, you're not seeing the teams that you need to kind of maintain. Now you have an opportunity here to gain some ground. Arizona, Colorado, obviously, you know, you've got a Detroit team that's plucky, but, you know, like there's an opportunity there, and you put yourself up against Vegas, right? You've been working your ass off the last couple of weeks to really be ready to go. As Brendan Dillon said, the first period might be a little dicey, but they're hoping by the second or third period, they'll be ready to go. Well, you don't have a window anymore to fool around. So, you know, I'm all for giving Cole Perfetti an opportunity. And look, you're not putting it on a kid who's turning 20 today, that this is on his shoulders to fix the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, the drivers are the guys who need to be the drivers. Pierre-Luc Dubois, who has been, Kyle Connor, who has been, Mark Scheifele, who has been better of late and needs to be the driver of this team. Paul Stastny's been, you know, excellent in the role. He continues to play for this Jets club. Adam Lowry needs to contribute more than he has.
Stastny was unbelievable. I know I wasn't on the post game show, Dave. Just going to say Stastny was unbelievable in that last game against St. Louis. Speaking of Missouri,
it's easier when you just tell us when you the post game shows you are on versus the ones you're not on.
See, anyways,
my New Year's resolution is to actually be meaner to Ezzy.
Oh,
that hurt, Drew.
The point is that the guys who this is going to be on are those guys as your drivers. Now, of course, you know, opportunity knocketh for Jansen Harkins. David Gustafson, who Tico Napoli was asking what his status is. He's been on the fourth line. So there is, like I said, there's a responsibility on this team to play better. The defense has been good. That's, you know, Connor Hellebuyck has been good. But at the end of the day, you know, like I said, you're not going to put this all on a 20-year-old kid to come in and solve things. If you can bring Cole Perfetti in and you can find a role for him and he can seize that opportunity, fine. If he can't, it's not the end of the world because 20-year-old kids generally don't have an impact. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they can surprise you. And sometimes they need a little bit more marinating in the AHL. And that's not a bad thing with Cole Perfetti because we saw what he was. Look, he was a perimeter player who didn't go to the hard areas beginning of the season last year. All his points, again, most people just look at the scoring because most people weren't watching the games.
We could have watched the games last year for the Moose, basically. You're the only one who was in the building.
Yeah, no, I know. And I'll be the only one. It'll be me, five scouts, and like the Moose staff tomorrow. So there'll be probably about 10 people watching tomorrow's game, although it'll be downtown, not at the Iceplex. But at the end of the day, I think it's one of those situations that, you know, you're looking at a player who could seize the opportunity. And again, like I said, if he doesn't, it's not the end of the world. He'll go down, he'll play for the Manitoba Moose. And it's not going to be a testament to who he is as a player. So, like I said, this is...
To your point, sorry, Dave, to your point. I mean, last year, you know, during the playoffs, it was all about, you know, goal Caulfield, right?
Yeah.
You know, Cole Caulfield was the second coming. I mean, you know, he's struggling this year with the Montreal Canadiens.
Who is it?
Because it could be... Yeah, well, of course. Yeah,
exactly.
But because he's a young player, it happens. Right. I mean, he's got a goal and six assists in 25 games. Now, the entire team is obviously garbage in Montreal. But, you know, for as great as he was last year in playing for the Habs in the playoffs and everything else, mm-hmm. I mean, it was more lightning in a bottle, clearly, than it was, you know, a guy who's ready to step in and be a dominant player at the NHL level.
Well, and like I said, and I'll just end it off here, but like I said, so I started to say, like, Perfetti was a perimeter player and all his points were, except, you know, Joe from Winnipeg makes a good point. You know, people watch on AHL TV, Drew, so it's not that people aren't watching the games, as Joe from Winnipeg could testify, but but again, part of the important thing, although now that with the pano shot, you can actually watch what's happening. You don't have to watch specifically the camera shot. You can actually watch the panoramic shot, which is kind of neat because I think one of the advantages to being live in a building is being able to watch everything that's happening, not just what's happening, you know, with the puck carrier. But Cole Perfetti went from being a perimeter guy who all his points last year, at the beginning of the season, not all, but primarily, were on the power play with the man advantage. And then all of a sudden you start, there was one game I remember, I think it was against Belleville, that he went hard at the net. And I thought, ooh, that's a different thing. We haven't seen that from him yet. And then you start to see it. Now, again, the AHL was different last year. It was a different league because there was a lot of the premier players from the American Hockey League were on taxi squads. So it wasn't necessarily the traditional AHL we're used to seeing. Well, he's getting used to a traditional AHL on a very good Manitoba Moose team. He's played well alongside David Gustafson. So, like I said, is there an opportunity for Cole Perfetti with the Winnipeg Jets? Yes. If he doesn't, quote, get it right now, are you going to lose your mind over it? No, because, look, the Jets need to win. It's not about developing Cole Perfetti at the NHL level. Cole Perfetti can develop in the AHL and be the number one guy on the number one power play unit and play, you know, 20 minutes in a game. That's what you want from a 2020 first rounder. You don't want him playing, you know, third line grinder minutes. Again, I've always been of the opinion your third line needs to produce. But the reality is, if you can do that, great. But if not, give them the opportunity with the Manitoba Moose.
It's like many things in life, right, guys? It can be as simple as, you know, someone mentioned earlier in the comments, I forget who it was, like, if he plays well, he's going to stick up with the Jets for the time being, whether that's short term, medium term, or whatever. But it's also more complex because you know that the Jets coaching staff treats 20-year-old players differently. And I'm not saying just Perfetti or, you know, a couple of years ago, David Gustafson. I mean, it's just the reality. You're going to treat, you know, a Cole Perfetti differently than Jansen Harkins. You're going to be a little bit more careful with him. It's not just as easy as, you know, this guy was ripping it up in Edmonton and Red Deer, and he's going to go right into the lineup. So, yeah, there's a lot to be excited about. You could see Perfetti out there, and I would love to see him, you know, personally on that Jets power play, not in practice, in an actual game. But I think, you know, going back to what we said before, guys, right? Like, you look at the standings. I mean, the Jets are, you know, tied with teams like Vancouver and LA and they don't have games in hand. In fact, those teams have games in hand on the Jets. The Colorado Avalanche, who many people pick to be a Stanley Cup favorite, are a wild card team right now. And I realize they've had injuries and, you know, they've played less games, but I mean, the Jets have to win games, right? Like if you want to make the playoffs, look at 2 week time is a weird thing. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about, you know, how important those games were against Nashville and Dallas. Well, you know, 2 weeks, lots has changed in the world, guys, but really not a lot has changed because, you know, the Jets still need these points. So you've got to get points against Vegas. You've got to get points against Arizona, Colorado, Detroit, all these things, right? So yes, you know, it's going to be exciting if Perfetti gets into a game, but at the end of the day, the Jets are, you know, competing for their playoff lives right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You're exactly right, Ezzy. They are competing for their playoff lives. It starts tomorrow as they're back in action against the Vegas Golden Knights. Post-game show tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, right around 5:45 p.m. Central Time. Be sure to smash the like button here on our YouTube channel. Ring the subscribe bell. That way you'll get alerted each and every time we go live, be it with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Saturday mornings or the Illegal Curve post-game show following each and every Winnipeg Jets game. Let's take our final break of the morning. When we come back, we're going to talk about tomorrow against Vegas, look ahead to the schedule as it currently stands. Who knows how long it's going to last for. We'll talk about the games this week. We'll get you set for everything Winnipeg Jets related. Stick and stay, as our friend Hustler likes to say. You're watching the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel. We're live on all of our social media platform. And 20 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg ringing in the new year with you. Nice to see so many of you, familiar faces, some new faces, of course, joining us in the chat room. We do this on Saturday mornings. We also do this after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. Tomorrow, 5:45 p.m. Central Time with the post-game show. And then Tuesday and Thursday, a little bit later, those are 8 o'clock puck drops. So post-game right around 10:45 or so. Nothing too late. I think you guys can stay up those late hours. Nothing like those midnight or 12:30 post-game shows we had that stretch of earlier this season.
Hey, we still party. We still got them done.
Yeah, oh yeah, we partied. There's no question we partied. I partied into the wee hours of, I think, 10:15 last night before I fell
asleep. We didn't party into a Charleswood ditch, but we still partied and got the shows done.
It's been a long time since we partied.
Hey, if we can do a triple overtime game in the summer, then I think we can handle it. 2 o'clock in the morning post game shows. Come on, folks. Shockingly was like had 800 people on it, so it was like our most watched.
Speaking of Charleswood ditches, Dave, like, you know, we were just in Tuxedo. Like, could we get some sidewalks there? I mean, Drew, you grew up in Tuxedo. Like, where are the sidewalks, man?
There aren't any. I think it's part of the the planners' hope that there wouldn't be any pedestrians, I believe is what the thought process behind that was. But there are sidewalks where I live now, Ezzy, so I'm glad that you hopefully that has covered your you know disagreement with sidewalks, I guess.
I love the area that you live in now. That would be my number one choice, probably, of another area. I mean, there's a lot of great areas in Winnipeg, but Crescentwood is beautiful. The trees, the houses, the Grove. You know what? Even though, did you guys see the Grove? There was a little accident there.
Yeah,
the Grove?
Car drove through it. Our friends at the Grove, you know, which is not far from where I am. Sorry to hear that. I hope they'll
nobody was hurt, but it was a pretty big, like, the car was like halfway through the restaurant.
Yeah, right on the corner of Stafford and Stafford and Grosvenor there. The car just like T-boned the building. And like you said, the restaurant was, I guess, mercifully it was closed at that point because of COVID. So I guess that's fortuitous timing and glad that no one was injured. But that is certainly certainly not a good place to park your car in the side of a building.
No pizzas or croquettes were injured in that car accident.
That's good. And that's very important, of course. Gentlemen, let's talk about this road trip. It's a 3-gamer, 4-gamer, whatever you want to call it. Four straight on the road. Fair enough. Well, we assume the Jets are going to come home after their game in Colorado on Thursday night before they head out to Detroit the following Thursday. For that, and I believe that's just a one-off?
It's a one-off. One-off against Detroit, yeah.
And then they're back. That would be the Saturday, Sunday where they'd be playing Ottawa and Edmonton, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Ottawa for sure. Edmonton now canceled.
Right, exactly. So who knows what the schedule's actually going to look like. But in any event, this is a 3-game road trip against conference opponents. And, you know, obviously we know that the divisional opponents, and there's two of them, I guess, in Arizona and Colorado, those games are certainly important. But where the Jets currently are, if you look at the standings, I mean, they are battling for those wild card spots. Edmonton and Colorado currently hold down, the two wild card spots. Colorado as a wild card team is a little bit misleading because they've played so few games. They really, with their 667 points percentage, are closer to the top of the Central Division than they are in actually a wild card spot, assuming they continue the role they're on, 7-2-1. But the Jets are battling, as he mentioned, with, you know, the Vancouvers and the Los Angeleses and the San Jose's, and of course the Oilers, as you mentioned, for those wild card spots. So all of these games are hugely important. I mean, the Edmonton Oilers, a team that has really hit the skids, since they were, you know, atop the league almost as one of the best teams, they're 2-7-1 in their last 10. So that's a team that's certainly been struggling as well.
They need to get some goaltending. I don't know if you guys saw what my New Jersey Devils did to them, Jack Hughes in overtime. He got the overtime winner, but I mean, goaltending is an issue there, right? And that should not surprise anyone because we talked about it in the off season, right? Like, you're going back with Mike Smith and Mikko Koskin. Obviously, you know, Alex Stalock's injury didn't help anything, right, guys? Yeah. But even with the Stalock injury, I mean, I think most of us would agree Stalock is more of a backup at the NHL level at this point in his career, right? So they're going to have to figure out the goaltending situation, right? Like, you know, some people look at like a Marc-Andre Fleury. I have no idea if that's an option. Another thing we haven't really talked about, Drew, I know you kind of want to stick with the Jets here to end the show. Did I see that Mike Babcock is a guy that they're considering bringing in? Like, I realize Ken Holland and Babcock have a long history together, but I don't know about you guys, but when I saw that they were, you know, looking at making a coaching change, that surprised me big time.
I mean, I'd be shocked if they made a coaching change. It seems like that would just be one step forward, you know, three steps back if you're the Oilers. It's not a coaching issue. It's strictly a...
I don't think so.
It's a goaltending issue.
Dave Tippett's a great coach.
Yeah, I don't think that replacing Dave Tippett is all of a sudden going to make Mike Smith, Mikko Koskinen, or Stuart Skinner, exceptional goaltenders. So the Oilers, I mean, if that's what they do, then that is certainly probably, in my estimation, a short-sighted decision. But going back to, you know, this road trip, Dave, you know, you got Colorado, you have Vegas tomorrow, which is a Pacific Division team, obviously. You got the two teams against Arizona and Colorado. This is a... It's a road trip that is a bit of a statement-making opportunity, I would say, for the Winnipeg Jets. You know, are they the Jets of the first 30 games where they were consistently inconsistent, and that was probably the most charitable way I could describe it? Or is this a Winnipeg Jets team that has an element of rebirth to it? And I know that it's a bit of a thread throughout this entire show, but, you know, you go into... If you go, you know, you're expected to beat Arizona. So you're not going to take any great, there's not going to be any great takeaways from whatever you do in that Arizona game, I think. But if you can go into Vegas tomorrow, and if you can go into Colorado on Thursday, and you can do something unexpected, i.e. collect some points, i.e. win a game, then maybe, you know, people begin to say, oh, wait, you know, it was an aberration, a little bit of the performance, the first 30 games. This is the Winnipeg Jets team that a lot of people expected and or the Winnipeg Jets saw when they went on that 9-3-3 stretch.
Yeah, and, you know, the opportunity for excuses is done. I mean, you had an opportunity to have your coach implement a new sort of mantra, if you will. I mean, this is a like I said, I'm not trying to use that reborn term often, but like, or too often, but the truth is you've had a huge opportunity. I mean, you could say, oh, well, you wanted to keep rolling what you did in against St. Louis, you know, when you played Nashville and Dallas, when you were scheduled, sorry, to play Nashville and Dallas on that Tuesday and the Wednesday. But the truth is you've now had a chance to get healthy. Like I said, get a guy like Evgeny Svechnikov back, where he's not back yet. Last we saw, he was in a non-contact uniform. But I don't think this is a road trip that, look, it's not a season-making road trip in the sense that if you don't have success, it's going to be the end. It's going to derail the Jets season. It's going to put them in tough. But I think that you could really make a season statement on this road trip if you can manage to, you know, go 3-0-0 or 2-1-1. Like, I really think 2-1-1, I guess, doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Including the Detroit part of the game.
Yeah, including the Detroit one. But I really think that you have to make some hay here. This is, like I said, the cushion that you had provided yourself is gone. And the win one, lose one situation isn't available to you anymore. You really don't have that luxury because of all the games the other teams have in hand. Like you said, Drew, Colorado is a mirage because their winning percentage shows that they're not the same team that's where they're currently sitting.
Now, if anybody thinks Colorado's missing the playoffs, then you have to give your head a shake.
I mean, if you look at strictly by points percentage, where they currently reside in the Western Conference, is they're the best. They're the best team. Them and Minnesota have the best points percentage in the entire Western Conference right now. It's 667. Right. So to say that they're a wild card team is really
Nazem Kadri. I don't think enough people are talking about the season that he's having.
Well, I mean, until he gets suspended for the playoffs, but you know that's usually how it works with him.
Fair enough.
But you know, to your point, Ezzy, you're right. You know, Colorado is the juggernaut that we expected Colorado to be at the beginning of the season. They started slow. They've been riddled with injuries. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't forget how many injuries and how many of their superstars have been out of the lineup. They look like the world beater that everyone thought that they would be, and so that's why, to your point, Dave. You know, if you go and you can make a statement against Colorado and you can make a statement against Vegas, who is also, I mean, Vegas doesn't have any OT games, which is sort of an aberration. You know, they're a team that's they've won or lost in regulation. Nothing has gone to extra time, but you do something against Vegas, you do something against Colorado, you're feeling good about yourself.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of, like I said, this is why this team really could, I guess what it does is it's positive reinforcement, right? Like it shows you that all the work you've put in over the last 2 weeks, you know, like Christmas break notwithstanding, that you will have been rewarded for, all that hard play. Like it was funny because Brendan Dillon said, we just want to hit someone. They're so excited. They're so, you know, eager to get into a game action.
And then Dillon actually hit Mark Scheifele.
He actually knocked Cole Perfetti out of his chair because they were doing the media yesterday. He goes, get out of here, kid. So I think
it's somebody his own size.
Yeah. So I think that's what we're going to see. We're going to see what this Jets team is made of, right? Because excuses are really for losers. I mean, you're not going to be able to just come up with some sort of like, oh, well, look, you've got majority of your team healthy. And the truth is lots of teams, look at Colorado, no better example of a team that's been making do with less, given all the guys that they've lost throughout the course of the season and still winning. St. Louis playing shorthanded in games and still winning. So the truth is, I mean, they were using like the fifth goaltender, for God's sakes. I think they were using the e-bug from Shreveport at one point. So I just think that you can't be in a situation where you're accepting, you've taken yourself out of the realm of being able to win a game and lose a game. You have to go in, you have to punch Vegas in the face and basically win that game tomorrow. And if you win that game, that sets you up to roll. Then you have to steamroll Arizona. You really do. Because you can't, we got goalied. That you know, like the whole point is, and Scott talked about it, you're away from the whole thing you've been working on is net front. And a lot of the game, even though they outshot Arizona like 46-12 or whatever it was, the truth is they were all perimeter shots. Not all, but a lot of them were perimeter shots. Now you know you're going to have to play dirty. You're going to have to go to the hard areas. Look, if Adam Lowry isn't willing to go to the hard areas, what is Adam Lowry in the lineup for? Well, I'm not saying he isn't, but I'm saying
I don't think it's Adam Lowry that is the concern about going to the hard areas. It's the scorers.
Of course, but I'm saying it's incumbent on everyone on this team to do what it takes to win. And they've done it in practice. We'll see if they can take practice and put it into, you know, a game action and see if they'll be able to implement it. But you need to really just like I said, to make it a season statement, you get two wins to start the road trip. You know, whatever you do against Colorado is, if you can win, it's gravy. Yep. If you can get a point, it's fantastic. If you lose, but you lose a game that you play well in, that's understandable. But like I said, to me, you really need to, I think for the Jets perspective, you have to win these first two games. I think it's just critical for the psyche of this team to really have two really good efforts and two big wins.
Guys, the game against Vegas, sorry, Dave, to cut you off short there. The game against Vegas, to me, is the crucial one and the most fascinating one here, not just because it's the first game back, but because you're facing, you know, as Drew mentioned, I mean, Colorado's right up there with Minnesota in terms of points percentage, but Vegas isn't that far behind, you know, after a bit of a slow start. And yeah, they've got Pacioretty out of the lineup, and we're not sure if Leonard's going to start, but it doesn't matter because Lauren Brossoit has done an excellent job as a backup, right? And we know, you know, how many good players Vegas has, right? Like, they don't have anybody. I think Chandler Stevenson, if I'm not mistaken, last time I checked, was 11th in scoring. I took him in my hockey pool, so I'll give myself a little Barry Horowitz pat on the back for that pick. But he's got 34 points. But right after that, I think, you know, the next top scorer is Riley Smith with 26 or 27 points, but that's Vegas, right? Like Vegas isn't a team that, you know, it's not like Draisaitl and McDavid in Edmonton. This is a team that scores by fit committee. They get a lot of, you know, offense from their defense, just a well-structured team, like just a really good even strength team. So that game tomorrow, you know, to me is the most important one. But yeah, Dave, like this is an opportunity for the Jets, you know, to pick up some points against some really good teams and get this on the right track, right? Like St. Louis was a good starting point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Jets have had the practice time here, but, you know, this is a really good opportunity. And I agree, it's not going to ruin the season, you know, if the Jets lose 2 of 3 or if they lose 2 of 4. But there's no doubt that they have to have some urgency and have some desperation. It's the biggest cliche, you know, in hockey, but it really is the case. This is a crucial game for the Jets, not so much for Vegas, who's pretty comfortable, you know, at the top spot in the Pacific, but the Jets really need to start banking some points.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it'll be interesting, of course, if the Golden Knights have Mark Stone in the lineup or not. He's day-to-day. And, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we don't need to tell people in the chat or people watching this or people, you know, listening to the podcast later on how important Mark Stone is. He's certainly one of the best players all around in the entire NHL. So if you're a Jets team, and, yeah, admittedly, you're not at full strength either, but I would say that you have more of your best players in the lineup. If the Golden Knights are without Mark Stone, and if they're without Max Pacioretty, who we know will be out of the lineup, and if they're without Robin Lehner, and he's it's unsure if he's going to play or if it's going to be Laurent Brossoit tomorrow, this is an opportunity knocks. You're catching a Vegas team at a bit of a lull or a bit of a weakness in terms of the injury bug. I also think that, you know, the weird start time tomorrow, 1 o'clock local time in Vegas, is actually going to be an advantage to the Winnipeg Jets, in that the Jets are so desperate to get back into a game. You would expect them to be, it might not be pretty to start in terms of, you know, getting a feel for the puck on the stick and things of that nature, but you would expect them to be, you know, horses getting ready to be let out of the starting gate after not playing in game action for 2 weeks. So you wonder, can that be to the Jets' advantage, you know, to begin the game? Is you sort of, you know, jump on what might be a bit of a sleepy atmosphere. When you go to Vegas, it's usually, you know, the wild and crazy show and the party and the spectacular pregame shenanigans and all that jazz. Well, those pregame shenanigans usually don't have the same impact at a 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon start time just after New Year's Day as they do on a Friday night when everybody's geeked up for the game.
Well, and Drew, you would know because, you know, coming from you know, someone who's danced on the piano at the Chandelier Bar, you would know, right?
You know, Ezzy, I do get into things, but I don't get into my trouble in Vegas until, again, a little bit later in the evening. 1 o'clock, I'm still sort of shaking off the events from the night before. Maybe I'm still
asleep. You've got an Earl of Sandwich in your belly.
Yeah, I got a little Earl of Sandwich. Maybe I'm relaxing at the sports book, you know, trying to, you know, win a few shekels on some weird, you know, third division soccer game that's probably been fixed. You know, I'm not necessarily at peak performance at 1 o'clock 1 o'clock local time when I'm in Vegas, and it'll be interesting to see what the Golden Knights are like and what the Jets are like as well as they fly in there a little bit later on today following practice that Dave M will have covered, of course, on the website.
I wish the game was I wish the game was today. I'm with Dave. Like the practice, I know the coaches love practices, but I mean, how many practices can we cover, right? Like, let's get it going here.
What, you know, what's I think is the most, I was going to say to you guys, you know, there's of course the outdoor game, the Winter Classic is later tonight in St. Paul between the Wild and the St. Louis Blues. And I mean, those are so, I mean, I'll turn it on, but there's just no excitement to me aside from I'm sure there's excitement in Minnesota. And I don't get that. I mean, I don't, you know, devalue that from their perspective. But if NHL.com just sort of published the same Winter Classic article year after year after year and changed the name of the teams that are involved in it, would anyone notice? I mean, it's almost so played out at this point in time.
Yeah,
I think you know what you're saying. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to say, I mean, look, I think unless the team that you're covering or that you cheer for is involved in this, it is no longer a league-wide interesting event. I think it's become much more localized, and that's fine. But like, you know, if the Jets are involved, then obviously we cover it and we're a lot more focused on it. And, you know, fans love it because you get these Heritage Classic uniforms, which fans pray become the permanent uniforms. Mm-hmm. But I think it's one of those situations, Drew, that it's just it become a localized event. So I wouldn't turn it on. I don't really care that much about it. I think that most folks, like I said, unless you know, it's a little more interesting, I guess, for Jets fans or people who cover the Jets, because, you know, it's teams that are in the Jets division. But other than that, I don't think there's a tremendous amount of interest anywhere outside of, what is it, St. Louis. And I mean, again, there was interest. It's funny.
A lot of it has to do with because the games are not that great.
Who's timing us out?
I'm timing you out just to say latest from Winnipeg Jets practice, courtesy of Scotty Billick, who was, of course, on the show with us about 90 minutes or so ago. Evgeny Svechnikov on the ice, and he's not wearing the yellow non-contact jersey.
Good to know.
So it certainly looks imminent that he will return to the Winnipeg Jets lineup, assuming he gets through practice without any setbacks today. It could very well be for tomorrow's game in Vegas.
I would assume Dave Lowry, Kopp, Svechnikov is your third line.
Yeah. And again, you know, the interesting thing for me is that it just goes to show you that this 2 weeks has come to be such a benefit to the Jets, because, you know, Evgeny Svechnikov would have missed a number of games if he wasn't, if this hadn't occurred. So you got Svechnikov, who's feeling good and ready to, now that he's shedded his non-contact, you're going to get him probably to bump, I would imagine, Christian Reichel out of that third spot. And I mean, who knows, because he's been playing there. So we'll see what happens in that regard. But maybe it's Jansen Harkins. He bumps and Harkins goes back down to the fourth line, which makes our Harkins conversation completely moot. And means if you were listening live, that's probably a good thing, because if you're listening to the post-game podcast and you've already read illegalcurve.com and you read the practice report, and you may see that the lines look different, you're going to be like, what is Munich talking about? Or Mandel?
I bet you they keep Harkins where he is. I just think...
Well, I would think so. I would think so. Yeah. But at the same time... at the same time, you also know that what you have in Dubois, Connor, and Svechnikov, right? So very easily, especially Gavin, like we just talked about, we spent how much time talking about it. This isn't really an opportunity for the Jets to try things. You need to know
what works. I think it's more likely, Dave. Sorry, I was going to say, I think it's more likely that you see Svechnikov with Connor and Dubois. Obviously, we don't know that for sure.
I think so too.
But I think because Kopp is coming out of COVID protocols, and we know Lowry and Kopp have that familiarity before, and they're going to need a good shutdown line against Vegas. So I would assume that it's a safer bet that Kopp is going to be on the third line, and then you might see Svechnikov and Harkins. But I'm with you, Drew. I would love to see Harkins get that opportunity in the top six.
Well, you know, it's just goes to show how quickly things can change from hour number one through hour number two. Things change very quickly. Dave M. will have the latest, of course, from Winnipeg Jets practice on the website, illegalcurve.com. And you can always follow us on Twitter at illegalcurve, and us individually, as you see it on the screen, at IC Drew, at IC Dave, and at IC SEG. Dave, you had your finger up for a comment.
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone in the chat and all the people who are listening to the podcast and just everybody in general that, you know, it's been such an amazing year for Illegal Curve Hockey. And, you know, we transitioned in February, and we'll probably reminisce about that, you know, in a month's time. But we transitioned over here to YouTube, and it's been nothing but amazing. We love the community that sprung up. And
we love you, YouTube.
Well, we love
you. YouTube.
We love the chat.
Don't ever change.
We love what this has brought for us, and we just love we always had freedom, realistically, even at 1290, because we weren't employees of theirs, but we always had freedom. But this has been even more liberating in that regard, because it's a lot different in terms of control, right? We've now been able to add the post-game show, which we love. The website was insane this year. It was probably the busiest year. It was not probably. It was the busiest year I've ever had on the website. So I just want to thank everyone in the chat and for supporting us, for reading the website every day, for coming and joining us. You know, every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning after every post game show, whether it's 2 in the morning in June or whatever it is, we really do appreciate everyone, you know, spending 2021 with us, and we look forward to 2022. And I also want to give a special shout out to my sister who had her baby yesterday. So,
Congratulations, Uncle Dave.
Big news that I became another uncle again, and my little sister had her kid. So she had a daughter who's healthy.
A girl? And happy, nice. What's her name?
What a beautiful name of Drew Ezzy Dave. I think it just rolls off the tongue for a baby girl.
Yes, yes.
What's Rachel's daughter's name?
I don't know if I'm supposed to put this out there, buddy, because she's probably mad at me for putting
it out. Okay, well, you can tell me when we go off air.
I'll tell you separately.
Yeah. But that is awesome. Mazel tov to Rachel and Kyle. And the whole Minook family. Got to get all the Minooks in there. Gary and Cheryl as well. Dan. There's a lot of Minooks. I mean, if we were to name off all the Minooks, it would probably take us another show.
Yeah, I think we can probably save that for a different show then, instead of doing it right now. Manuk, well said,
Dave. Maureen Manuk, probably my favorite Manuk.
Also want to say a big thank you to our sponsors, because they make this show and they make the post-game show a possibility. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and our friends at Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey.
We will have more Tough Duck Tukes. Drew wanted to get that in. We're going to have more Tough Duck Tukes to give away starting tomorrow after the Jets Golden Knights game, and we are going to be putting together a larger Tough Duck winter gear package. And because it's been minus 47 every day, I think people are going to want to stay tuned for that. We're going to give away jackets, gloves, toques. We're going to put together a little bit more of a grand prize and have fun with it on social media, so look forward to that. And I want to echo what Dave said. Thanks for everybody for supporting us, watching us, listening to the podcast. And you know, if you are going to go out tonight, just don't do anything I wouldn't do.
God help you all. In that case, thank you so everybody for joining us. Again, a reminder, the post-game show tomorrow afternoon, right around 5:45 p.m. back here on our YouTube channel. If you haven't already done so, subscribe to the channel, ring the bell. That way you get alerted each and every time we go live with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show or the Illegal Curve post-game show. Smash the like button. Leave us some comments. You can do that on YouTube. You can also do that wherever you download the podcast from as well. Always like to hear the feedback for better or for worse. For Dave M, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.